It is great to be in church today. Amen? Fantastic. What an honor it is to be here. Thank you for those nice words, Josh. I appreciate you. You've had quite a 2 weeks here investing in the lives of the students and children here at Spring Valley, and I'm grateful to you for what you do for this church and for this community. I'm also grateful for Pastor Brad and the whole team here. An incredible church, and God is doing some awesome things. I serve as your associational missionary. We have 67 churches across this county. Every single one of them is unique. They're all different, but they all preach the same gospel, that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's incredible to be able to see from my vantage point what God does in each of those churches, and to minister to the church, to the pastors, and to the staff. It's really, really cool. Love what I do. It's a privilege to be here this morning to speak of God's faithfulness. When I was driving up and got out of the car, I remarked to the hospitality team this morning just how beautiful of a day it is out there. It's just gorgeous, and it just shows us how faithful God is, how incredible He is, what a great Creator and awesome Savior He is. But He's also given us some beautiful expressions of His body spread out across the world. There are 47,000 Southern Baptist churches out there serving the Lord Jesus Christ today. That's an incredible thought, that we are a part of a family that's big, that's that big, but also we are a part of the family of all who preach that Jesus saves and who acknowledge the Bible as the Word of God. So we are among about 2 billion people across the earth today who believe in the resurrected Lord. So you're a part of something incredible. And as we see the faithful church play out, I know we all could tell stories of how God has been faithful through our local church. And honestly, I don't know how people make it without a local church. I feel that way. There was a time in my wife's life and my life when we were praying about having children, and we've been married for quite some time. And we were at a worship concert, and during the intermission, they showed a video about the plight of children in orphanages in Asia. And as that video was playing, I remember distinctly leaning over and grabbing my wife's hand, and our eyes touched or met, and we just knew that the Holy Spirit was leading us to adopt a child that needed a home. And so later, I went back and I shared with the congregation that I was serving about how God had impressed that upon us and how we felt that that's where He was leading us. And they all met us there at the front of the church after worship and began to pray with us. And then they put a plan into motion that made it possible for us to adopt. We had served the Lord our entire married life, and that had brought us many spiritual riches, but not many financial. And so they stepped up to the plate, and they showed their faithfulness, not just to the Lord Jesus Christ, but to their commitment to pro-life values, etc. And we brought this 5-month-year-old baby home from Taipei, Taiwan, and she is one of the three lights of our lives. And the cool thing is, we brought her home, and then we were expecting. We have 2 other children by birth. So it's amazing how God works and how they're growing up. But I saw the faithfulness of the church. This morning, I want to show you the faithful church from the book of Revelation. So if you have your copy of God's Word, turn with me to Revelation chapter 3, and I'll read the text beginning in verse 7. This is about the church in Philadelphia. This is one of 7 letters that John received from Jesus Christ on the island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea while he was there in exile for his faith. And he received these letters from Jesus about these specific 7 churches in what we know today as Western Turkey. And these churches were not in a good climate or environment. They were all persecuted, but this church in particular was noted for its faithfulness. Verse 7, "And to the angel or messenger of the church in Philadelphia write, the words of the Holy One, the true One, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens, I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door which no one is able to shut. And I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name." Verse 9. "Behold, I will make of those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. because you have kept my word about patient endurance. I will keep you from that hour of trial that is coming on the whole earth to try those who dwell on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold fast what you have so that no one may seize your crown. Verse 12. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Lord, we pray that you'd bless this word that you've given us today, and may we live it out. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So this faithful church, let me point out to you some characteristics from the text of the faithful church. Again, a church in a persecuted area. Philadelphia was a city named for a man named Attalus Philadelphus, who was a man who founded the city. It was made to be a refuge and a retreat, but also a place where Roman soldiers would go and retire. But it became a major stopping point on the crossroads between Rome and the East. And so it was an important cultural city. And in this city, they had Greek culture, and they would communicate that to the barbarian tribes that lived around and traveled through the city. So it became a catalyst for the Roman culture. But little did they know when they founded this city that it would be a place where God would put a small church that would be a church of influence throughout that part of the world. And so let me give you some characteristics of this church. Number one, in the text in verse 7, this faithful church was a Christ-centered church. If you look at the text, it says, he that is holy, speaking of Jesus, the author of this letter, he who is holy, the Lord Jesus Christ is holy. He is totally separated from sin or anything that's related to the fall. He is a holy Lord Jesus Christ, and he calls us to himself to live out our lives in holiness. He that is true, he is true. In a world in which we live today where people are absent from truth, they don't understand the truth, they are apart from truth, many don't believe that you can even identify what is true, Jesus Christ stands today as truth to all who thirst and hunger for something that is real and authentic. He goes on, he says, he who hath the key of David. And this is a cross-reference back to Isaiah 22, when the nation of Israel was in a crossroads. They were vacillating between trusting in Assyria for their safety and Egypt. And God raised up a leader named Eliakim, who would be a helper to King Hezekiah. And this man was the one who God gave the authority at that particular time to bring some sense of stability. The Lord Jesus Christ holds the key. He is the one who we can trust in when times aren't so stable. He is holy in character. He is true. He is sovereign. He is also perfect in power. He opens and no one shuts. He shuts and no one opens. It's great to serve a Lord Jesus who is sovereign on his throne, and no one can thwart his plan. That's an awesome thought. Today, if you're looking to grasp onto sanity in the midst of the changes that you're experiencing in your home life or at work or in your community, then you can hold on to Jesus, because he is the one who has the plan that no one can stop. No one can shut a door he opens, and no one can open a door that the Lord Jesus shuts. So this faithful church was a Christ-centered church. Now I want to ask you this, Spring Valley, are you Christ-centered? I see all kinds of signs that you are. That's a great comforting thought. But it demands that we as individual church members honor the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he is at the center of our heart and values, that he is our all in all. I want to point out to you a second characteristic of this faithful church. If we look on in verse 8, they were a church that seized the open door opportunity. If you look in verse 8, it says there that I have set before you, Lord Jesus says, an open door. An open door throughout the Word of God is a symbol or a picture of gospel opportunities or the activity of God. If we look back in 1 Corinthians 16:9, the Apostle Paul spoke about the open door he had in Ephesus, where he worked for 3 years and invested his life to build a strong church. And he says, therefore, a great door and an effectual door has opened unto me, although there are many adversaries. So God had opened a door for Paul in the midst of a place where there were many challenges, yet God was going to provide just a great outcome. So Spring Valley, I believe that outside the doors of your church, there is a great opportunity. There is an open door for you to share the gospel. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy, right? But I want to commend you for walking out the door and sharing your faith. I love what you did with Vacation Bible School. I think that's an incredible idea to take the church and decentralize it and put it out where the people are. And it will take time, it always does, to build that influence. But God does amazing things when we walk through that open door of service. And when we use any opportunity that He has given us as a platform to share the Lord Jesus Christ. Often we have to show people that we love them before they will respond. I remember seeing an open door like that when I was in India serving there. We were driving up onto an open field and against the night backdrop of a village, and we did not know what we were walking into, or at least I didn't. We got out of the vehicle, and we were met by villagers by torchlight, and I was scared out of my mind. I didn't know what was about to happen. They all gathered around the vehicle we were in, and they had these torches. But thankfully, when I was able to step out of the vehicle and kind of survey the situation, they had smiles on their faces. Thought that was a good sign. So they led us into the village. And some of our partner churches had given their money from their Vacation Bible Schools to build a well. And this village had never had a clean water well in the midst of the village. And so there was a brand new shiny well. They had wrapped a ribbon around it. And they were going to cut the ribbon after a time of prayer. This was new to them. This was a Hindu village. So they asked me to step up and to pray a prayer. I don't think they understood a word I said, but it was amazing. After we prayed and they cut that ribbon, they began to pump that water. The water began to flow, but also the tears. And we were able to set up a screen. Some of you are familiar with the Jesus movie, and show the Jesus movie in Telugu. And for the first time, these people, because of that well, heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And many believed. It was an amazing sight to see what an open door looks like. Now, that open door is going to look different around Springville, around Argo, around Trustful. It's going to look different. But God is in the business of providing those open doors for us because He's given us the Great Commission, right? Matthew 28, 18 through 20, that we are to go into all the world and share the gospel. And that starts right here, Acts 1, 8. It starts in our Jerusalem. Then it extends to our Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost. So walk through those open doors. Third characteristic of a faithful church. Look at verse 8 again. They were influential regardless of their size. He says, I know that you have but little power. I would rather have a little strength and use it for the Lord than have great strength and use it for my own glory. They had but little power. They did not have much. This city, as a matter of fact, had gone through a lot, not only in its political challenges, but also they had had many earthquakes there. So many of the people had relocated out of the city into the surrounding areas. And so there were many struggles there, and the city was not what it once was. You know, I think of that in America today, spiritually speaking, as we look across the landscape of our nation today, there are many things that aren't as strong spiritually, at least from our vantage point, that we see as maybe they once were. Other things may be stronger. But the interesting thing is that we have never had such a great opportunity as we do today to share the gospel with the people around us. Even though we as a church may feel that we have little strength, there's awesome opportunity. He says, but you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Even in the midst of great challenges, if you look at verse 9, he says, I will make of those of the synagogue of Satan, but say they are Jews and are not, but lie, I will make them come down and bow down at your feet. So as you look at that text, you think, There are those at that time who were a part of the synagogues in Philadelphia who had shut the door in the faces of the Christians. They would not believe that Jesus Christ was the anointed one sent of God, the Messiah. And so they shut the Christians out. But God used this as a great opportunity to get the church, those who believed in Jesus, out into the city sharing the gospel. And even though they were small, they had great influence. He even says that one day they would come and bow down at their feet. Now, I thought of that. That sounds a little bit arrogant, doesn't it? To think that those who are of the opposing religious forces around are going to come and bow down at the Christians' feet. And then I thought about it. The reality is that one day we'll be surrounding the throne of Jesus Christ. We'll be there with Him worshiping forever in heaven. And you know what Paul told the Philippians in chapter 2, verse 9. He says, "Wherefore God has highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father." Now, would you rather bow down now to Christ than later? You see, every knee will bow. Even those who have denied Christ as Messiah, those who were there in Philadelphia, who were giving the Christians a hard time and persecuting them, even they would bow down at Jesus' feet. And so this church was of great influence, even though they were small in number. And when I think about that, I remember the small church that my wife attended when she was a child. My wife grew up in a home that was very impoverished. There were seven children there. She lived in a three-room house on the backside of a strip mine without indoor plumbing that worked. And just terrible poverty. And by the time she was a toddler, her father was critically ill. And so the crushing weight of raising those seven children landed on her mother, who did not handle it well. And eventually, when my wife's father died as a young teenager, her mother kind of lost touch with reality. And she brought a man into the home that was not her husband. And just to make a long story short, he was not a good man. He was an evil man. And so when she was a teenager, she packed everything that she could in a duffel bag. And she walked down the road to the little Baptist church down in the community that she had walked to Sunday after Sunday on her own. And this was during the week. And just so happens, and I'm giving air quotes here, the volunteer youth pastor was driving through the area and was stopping by the church to pick up something that he needed for the Sunday to follow. And that set in motion for this friend of mine who became my wife a life-changing set of circumstances that made her a first-generation college graduate, that changed her life for the positive in so many ways and gave her stability and hope and a future. And it was this little country church down at the foot of a hill, down a gravel road, that had very little that the world would see of value in it. But that's where she found hope and healing. And that's where God used their influence to change her life. Little influence, it seemed, but God used it greatly. So never underestimate what happens here. Even though you may not think, well, we're not a church of thousands, God is using this church in an incredible way. I can see that. But another example or characteristic of a faithful church is in verses 12 and following. This characteristic is important. They are close to the presence of God. Well, where do you get that? Well, you look at verse 12 with me. "The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it, and I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem." So he promises to this church that he would make them a pillar in the temple of God. Now, I know that John isn't schizophrenic, and of course, this is John quoting directly from Jesus. If you have a red letter edition, this part of the text is in red, because these are the words of Jesus in this letter to the church of Philadelphia. In that, you know, the Bible says in Revelation that there won't be a temple in heaven. You remember that? If you look to the back of the book, it says that there'll be no temple in heaven and that we will worship around Christ. There'll be no need of sun or moon. It's a total different setting. And he is making a reference here. This is symbolic language. The pillars of the temple were right around the presence of God. Think about that. He brought them right up close to his very presence. If you think of the temple, which began as the tabernacle that was portable in the wilderness, and then they brought it into Jerusalem eventually, David did, and then he set in motion what Solomon would use to build the temple itself, this physical structure, not portable, on Mount Zion in Jerusalem. I've been there. It's an amazing sight just to be on that place where, as Solomon prayed when it was dedicated, that the glory of God fell down and it filled that place. The same glory that led the children of Israel through the wilderness. The same glory that Moses experienced on Mount Sinai. Just an awesome thought. And there in the midst of it, the pillars holding up that temple. And so this church, because they were faithful through the grace of Christ in them, were able to experience the presence of God even in the most challenging circumstances. I will make you a pillar in the temple of my God. You know, when I think about the church, and every church has both groups, I think of the people as either lifters or leaners, okay? So there are those in the church who are lifters of the church. You know, they are the ones that hold up the rest of us at times. And we need them, all of us. No one has it all together here. So if you're looking for the perfect church, you're not in the right place, right? There's no such thing, actually. You'll never find it. And if you find the perfect church, don't join it because you'll ruin it, okay? But there are those who are lifters. They lift up the church through their volunteerism. They're willing to step up and lead a small group. They're willing to be a part of the hospitality team. They're willing to run the sound or be a part of the worship band. They are lifters. They're willing to tithe the tenth of their income or give more sacrificially to support the work of the church. There are those who are willing to serve on these committees and sit through all these meetings that have to be held so that the church can move forward. And I'm thankful that Spring Valley, through all these years, you've had those lifters, haven't you? Maybe you are sitting next to one this morning, and maybe you want to thank them before they leave today. Thank you for being a lifter to the body of Christ. But there are also those who are leaners, you know, that lean on the efforts of others. They lean on the time and the resources of others. They lean on what others may do. And my goal for all of us, including myself, is that we would be lifters in more areas of our lives so that we could be what the New Testament identifies as pillars of the church. I want to see the young people here grow up to be the pillars of Spring Valley Church, because I don't believe they're the church of tomorrow. They're the church of today, church. And they're here to serve and to do what they do so they continue to be strengthened, to be ready to support the body of Christ as God has placed it here at Spring Valley. So are you a lifter or are you a leaner? There's one more allusion here I want to bring to our attention. He says that he's going to write on those who are faithful the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. Now, I don't know if you've noticed it this morning, but I'm a true blood Southerner from Walker County, okay? Promise not to hold that against me. You know, St. Clair County, some folks are slow to warm up to Walker Countyans, but I think I'm breaking through that a little bit. And, you know, you could tell where I'm from. I can't hide my roots. I would not blend in well in New York City. But, you know, you could tell where someone is from often by the way they talk, or by their values, or just how they carry themselves. New York City is known as the city that never sleeps. I did my studies down in New Orleans, and that was often called Sin City. Chicago is the Windy City. It's also known for the Mafia. All these different places, they're known for different things. And you can often tell a lot about someone by where they have their roots. My question to all of us today is, do people around us know that our citizenship is in the New Jerusalem? Can they tell that we are from that place and that we're going to that place and that God is leading us to that New Jerusalem? Can people see that in us by the way that we talk, by the way that we walk, by who that we are? You know, a church often goes through a life cycle. And the amazing thing about Philadelphia is that many scholars believe that that church was in existence for 1,200 years. Does that not blow your mind? There are churches around here about 200 years ago, or 200 years old, and that's amazing to me. I cannot fathom a church that was in existence for over a millennium. That's hard for me to conceive of. But they had tremendous influence even though they were small, even though they had but little strength, even though they were persecuted. But a church often goes through cycles. Vance Havner made this popular, that it starts as a vision that God gives, often through a church planter or a man. God uses that, and people build around that, join him in that vision, and it becomes a movement of God, of the Holy Spirit. And he begins to work in that community, and God draws people to the gospel. People's lives are transformed. And often it moves to that next stage where it becomes like a machine, that we put in the pieces that need to be put in place to keep that thing together, to keep going what we've seen. And that machine, unfortunately, it becomes an end in itself, and it evolves into a monument to what has happened in the past. And we have to be very careful about that. Philadelphia, they had the best shot at not letting that happen, because they kept the faith, they did not deny the name of Jesus, and they were faithful. Are you faithful this morning? Are you faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ? I remember when I was a kid, the Boston Marathon was being held. This was back in the 80s. There was this lady that came from Cuba to run in the Boston Marathon. She was a newcomer. No one knew anything about her. She ran the race in record time and ended a country mile ahead of everyone else. Everyone was just amazed at what had happened. Then the reporters started asking questions about her running the course, and questions you should know the answer to, and she was stumped. And it's believed that she hopped on the subway and got off before the end of the race and then ran across the finish line. So her reward was taken from her. Now, don't let anyone ever say that a member of Spring Valley left the course. Stay faithful to what Christ is doing here, because he's up to something great. I've seen it this morning. So stay the course. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness to us. And Lord, as worship is a revelation and response, we respond to that revelation by committing to you that we want to be faithful to you, Lord. Lord, we're not a perfect people, and you know that. You bought us with the blood of your only Son on the cross of Calvary. Lord, I pray that we would realize that you paid it all for us, and to all we owe you everything, and the least of which is our faithfulness. Lord, I pray that we'll be faithful as we go out into our workplace this week. Lord, that we'll be faithful to our family, to our spouses. We'll be faithful to our church commitments. But Lord, we'll be faithful to worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord, I pray if there's an obstacle or a hindrance in anyone's life, that they will respond during this invitation time, this time of commitment. And Lord, they will seek you so that they could connect with you, and so that they can say with the Apostle Paul, I have fought the fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. And Lord, we pray that you will take this time of commitment and that you will do your work. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you